Usually at this time, I tell you about getting our view from the middle of the country, but there's a force in our area, a sense our guest is in our midst. Find his work for USA Today online, though not this week, usatoday.com. On Twitter, it's at George Schroeder. George, welcome back to Eugene. How are things?
It's good. I'm actually in Portland now. We've enjoyed our brief time in Eugene, heading to Portland, and then heading home.
I'll tell you what, seeing what you posted on Twitter, it looks like you and your family did what a lot of Oregonians don't. You really got around this state and saw some cool stuff, didn't you?
Well, we tried to. I mean, you know, one of the things that when we lived here for 6 years, we really tried to check out the natural beauty of the state because it's such a fantastic place. And we were always floored. For example, we didn't go to Crater Lake this week, but we've been 4 or 5 times. We're always floored to hear longtime Oregonians say, you know, I got to get there sometime. Never been there, about whether it was Crater Lake or somewhere else. And, you know, so on a brief visit back, we were able to be, to do some things in Bend, and we're at Bachelor and made sure we saw some sights and didn't do all the things we wanted to do. But it was a ton of fun. Got to see a lot of good friends.
That's a common thing, by the way. I'm obviously grew up in the shadow of Manhattan. The first time I really toured the Statue of Liberty in Ellis Island was when I took my wife there when I was 34 years old when we made it back. So that seems like that's a common tale.
Yeah. Well, let's do a quick pop quiz since I'm going to commandeer your show for one question.
Okay.
Have you, in fact, been to Crater Lake?
I have.
Okay.
Once, very briefly.
You should ask your callers that today and just see.
No, that was the first year I was here, and Somebody said, you have to do this, and they were driving, so I went. But the last 27 years, no. So I see where you're going with that. So
okay. You
got to an Oregon practice last night, which, of course, if you've been around here, means you either Phil Knight, a coach, a player, or Jerry Allen. And I know you get to spend time around many programs. You make a lot of visits. So the staff, the energy, the optimism, what were the impressions that struck you?
Well, now let me just say this. I was there before practice talking with a couple of people.
Okay.
I did not actually get inside practice. I could have, but I had to leave before that because of some obligations we had as a family. So I couldn't give you the vibe from the, you know, whatever it is, the viewing window that the media has for practice.
Okay. But in the people you've spoken with, and so did you get to talk with any of the coaches?
I did. I talked with Willie Taggart. I talked with a couple of the players. Let me preface this by saying, you know, I go a lot of places in August during camp over the years, and they're all optimistic. As Willie Taggart told me, though, sort of, you know, I'm undefeated right now at Oregon. So everybody's optimistic right now, and he was sort of, that was sort of the chuckle. Everybody's optimistic. He understood that. But, you know, the real hard part obviously is going to come when they trot out there and start playing, live opponents. But I do think this. I do think there's a vibe that's very positive and encouraging just in the brief window of time I had and the few people I talked with that they feel like they can reverse the slide from last year, and I don't think that's unrealistic.
No, I agree with you.
You know, it's a thin team. They're not very deep. Some of the recruiting struggles of the last few years will end up being magnified if anybody gets hurt. But if they can stay healthy, I think they're happy with the situation. Quarterback, obviously, running back's a good situation. Receiver is one of those really thin positions. The O-line should be a strength. And I don't know if you noticed, I haven't said anything about the defense because I'm not really sure what to say about the defense at this point. But surely it will be better than last year, right? I mean, how could it not be?
Well, there's two spots to go down. They were 126th. If they're not 127 or 8, they're going to go up. So.
Yeah, they got every shot. And I actually think you can go to 130 or something like that this year.
But, oh, man.
Yeah, there's every shot. Now, here's the deal. The immediate deal is get into double digits. Get into double digits. You don't want to be in triple digits in your defensive ranking.
Right.
Not that 99 is very good. But, you know, look, I just think, you know, not to quit being funny or trying to be funny, they're very encouraged, and I think they think this team has a chance to be a decent team. Are we talking about you know, Pac-12 national title contender this year. Willie Taggart will tell you his goal every year is to win the Pac-12. That's what coaches have to say.
Sure.
Is that realistic? I don't think so. At this point, I think most people would probably settle for getting back to winning, and then, you know, then you start talking about moving on up in the next year or so.
Now, last week we briefly touched on Big Ten Media Day, and I saw you made an appearance on Paul Feinbaum. He actually tweeted out a quote you made about Ohio State, and it was interesting to see the follow-ups. A lot of people were referencing last year's Fiesta Bowl, which, of course, has nothing to do with this year. But
right.
Your point, I thought, was interesting, and we didn't hit on. Is it logical to think that maybe the Buckeyes were a year ahead of schedule last season, and that awful experience makes them maybe that much more dangerous?
Oh, I think so, except that the one thing I would say is that's not a good excuse, because they were a year ahead of schedule the year they won the title.
Right.
You know, I mean, that team was filled with nothing but youth. So, but I guess maybe the lesson is sometimes youth can get it done, and sometimes youth can be very talented and not get it done. That's what happened last year. I think their bigger problem last year was the offensive line was just flat, not very good. And J.T. Barrett's not a great downfield passer, but I think the downfield passing game problems were magnified by the fact that the offensive line was not very good. They weren't able to run the ball, and they weren't able to hold the ball long for vertical passing routes. I think the addition of Kevin Wilson, the Indiana coach who, you know, lost his job as offensive coordinator, and then Ryan Day, who's a quarterback's coach who spent a lot of time with Chip Kelly in the NFL, I think that has every chance to revitalize, along with the fact that the offensive line basically returns intact, has every chance to make the offense much better. If that happens, you're looking at a team that Urban Meyer thinks might be the most talented he's had in his time in Columbus, and that's saying something.
Sure is.
So if they get the offense going, then you're looking at a team that could be really, really dangerous and might be the best team in the country, which is what I said. I mean, I said they have the chance to develop into that. I didn't think that was that big a deal.
No.
Frankly. We were talking about that. It was last Thursday. It was the day that the coaches poll was released, where Ohio State was ranked number 2. It's not a large step from 2-1. You know, I mean, I don't know where they'll rank in the AP poll, but they're going to be in everybody's top 5. And so I didn't think it was that big of a deal to say. But boy, it's like it stirred up a hornet's nest, and everybody wanted to talk about 31-0 during the festival. Here's my deal. That was last year.
No, I'm always amused at how touchy fans could get. And like you said, it was August 2nd when you had this conversation.
Well, it was August 2nd, and they were ranked 2nd. It wasn't like I was taking some team that everybody had ranked 20th and was saying, I think this team could be the best team in the country. It was kind of funny from that. Look, I'm amused like you are, but sometimes it still amazes me that it can generate that level of, let's just call it interest.
Yeah, that's a kind way to put it. Talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. Josh Rosen in the news. Interesting, he said being a football player and a student is like holding down 2 full-time jobs. And it's like, well, your class is about 15 hours. I don't think you practice 65 hours, so his math might be off. Our own Jordan Kent said, I played 3 sports and found time for studies. Is he coming off, I don't know, a little entitled, first world problems, valid points? What was your reaction to what he had to say?
Oh, I think a little all of the above. The first thing I would say is this. I think we, every time we hear Josh Rosen talk, we realize why they didn't bring him to Media Days. let me say this. I thought it was an authentic. And by the way, the sound bites or just the little clickbait quotes that are pulled out into social media didn't do justice to the actual interview. I think the real interview was a pretty good, authentic look into who the guy is. And, you know, we always want these guys to be genuine and honest. And here he was. And then all of a sudden he's taking all sorts of abuse. And I thought some of the quotes that you saw in the social media links and stuff like that were sort of taken out of context. All that said, he definitely didn't hold back. And I don't completely agree with him on the idea that you can't balance high-level school and high-level football. Some people do. Now, I do know this. There's a whole sort of diploma mill type of thing that does go on with high-level athletics sometimes where guys are, maybe you actually have an interest in, I don't know, engineering or something like that, but you're shunted into sociology because, you know, the coursework doesn't jibe with with the requirements you have just in terms of physical time and stuff like that. Or maybe you'd love to be in biology because you want to go into pre-med, but the labs are going to conflict, and so you end up in a different major.
Right.
And I think that does happen sometimes. I'm not saying all the time. I think it does happen sometimes. And I think sometimes you've got guys who, if they were just college students and they went to school without a real idea of what they wanted to do in life, but they were sort of able, free to sort of explore different things, might choose, you know, a different major than what ends up sort of halfway getting chosen for them because of their football schedule or their basketball schedule. And I think that's kind of what Josh Rosen was getting at, and I don't disagree with him there.
No, that makes sense. I want to get to a couple of the coaching situations, start here in the Pac-12. And, you know, at UCLA, Jim Moore Jr. took over for Rick Neuheisel, who never won more than 7 games. Year one, Moore won 9, made the Holiday Bowl, and they've been in the preseason rankings each year since until now. They won 10 games twice. We know Rosen got hurt last year. But entering his 6th year and trending maybe in the wrong direction, how huge is this season for a nationally known guy like Mora?
Well, I think it's real huge. I think he's Kevin Sumlin's probably the first guy on the hot seat in my mind in the country. Brian Kelly's on a hot seat at Notre Dame, and I think Jim Mora. Those are probably the top three. I mean, some people would say Butch Jones at Tennessee. I don't know that his seat's quite that hot, at least going into the season, as those other three guys. I think Morris is hot. Now, what he's got going for him is this UCLA. We're not talking about the same kind of passion as at a Texas A&M or Tennessee.
Right.
But I think his seat is hot. If here's the deal. If they're bad again this year, Josh Rosen goes off the NFL, you've wasted what a lot of people think is a surefire NFL guy. You've wasted his career and gotten nothing out of it in terms of wins. And obviously, you're right. He was injured last year. But that's partly because he kept getting driven in the ground because of how bad the offensive line
right.
was. So that kind of reflects on the coach, too, and it goes back to the potential wasting in terms of wins and losses and results of an NFL quarterback. You know, NFL quarterbacks are few and far between. You know, they don't happen along all the time. And so I think Jamore is in trouble. I think they've got to win. Otherwise, I think the Chip Kelly watch is on at UCLA. I'm not sure he takes that job, but that'll be one of the names you'll be hearing.
Oh, sure. Another one, the last one in the Pac-12, Rich Rodriguez. Things had slid under Mike Stoops. He doubled their win total year one, played in the league title game year 3, then 3 wins last year. Incredibly, this is his 6th season at Arizona. I mean, if he's not in the top 3, is he closing in hot seat-wise?
Yeah, well, I mean, he'd be in your top 10 for sure. But, I mean, I think if they can find a way to be a bowl team, 6 wins, I think he makes it. I mean, Arizona's a hard job. You know, Dave Hickey, who was an Oregon associate AD, is now the AD there. So he's not the guy who hired him. Greg Byrne went to Alabama. So that's always a little bit iffy, like, what does that mean? But I don't think they're in any great rush to fire Rich Rod. It's a hard job, and sort of the who do you have lined up that's going to do better is sort of sitting out there, got to be sitting out there in the back of your mind. But, yeah, his seat is definitely warm. Listen, he's not the only guy in the state of Arizona. Todd Graham's seat's warm, too.
Yep.
Not hearing a lot about that, but it's warm and can get hot. And, frankly, when you talk to different people, as odd as this sort of sounds, knowing some of the jobs that might open up, you keep hearing Arizona State as the kind of landing spot for a Chip Kelly who might think he could really do something there. You know, there's that whole thought that it's a sleeping giant, even though we've never seen it awakened. But there's this whole thought that Arizona State could really be something, and I could see it being the kind of place that might appeal to Chip Kelly.
Yeah, that's always been kind of what we've referred to as the sleeping giant, and I guess since Jake Plummer, they really haven't risen up.
That's right.
Lastly, for George Schroeder, I think I kind of forgot that Deshaun Watson didn't win the Heisman and that it was actually Lamar Jackson of Louisville. And, you know, he's back. They're a top 20 team. With all Clemson lost, they might be the second best team. Is it me, or is, considering what a good team that is and what a great player he is, are they kind of sneaking under the radar during the preseason?
Oh, maybe. I don't think they're the second-best team in the ACC. I think that's still Clemson.
Okay.
I think Clemson's defensive front is the best in the country. and they've got enough talent. That obviously quarterback is a huge question mark for them with Deshaun Watson gone, but and he's not the only skill position player. But I think they're going to be really, really good. Maybe a half notch below Florida State, but really, you know, a top 10 program. I'm not sure I'm ready to say that about Louisville. Yes, though, in answer to your question about Lamar Jackson, he is sort of getting short shrift. I think some of that has to do with, after the fact, kind of look at the way his season went towards the end and thought, you know, he really didn't have a great end of the season. He went ahead and won the Heisman because he was such a, you know, runaway front runner. But, and that happens sometimes with the Heisman Trophy. If he goes and puts up big numbers again, though, he's going to shoot to the top of everybody's list.
Yep.
Again. Now, I would say this. He is less likely than some of the other underclassmen who have started to win this award and have come back. I think he's less likely probably to win it again. Not because he won't put up similar numbers, but because sometimes the magic doesn't feel the same, and I just don't see it happening. I'm not sure that they'll be quite as good as they were a year ago.
All righty. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed your time in Oregon and got to do what the natives really do and actually get out and enjoy the state. You and your family travel safe back home. And as always, we appreciate your time and look forward to catching up again.
No question. Look forward to seeing you.
All right. Take it easy, George.